Going from billionaire to bust in one fell swoop. That's the prospect facing SAC Capital, the Wall Street hedge fund with a reputation for psychic insights into making money in the stock market. The Justice Department called SAC yesterday a magnet of market cheaters in a broad indictment of the firm run by billionaire Stephen A. Cohen, accusing it of systematic insider trading violations dating back more than a decade, insider trading that is, quote, substantial, pervasive, and on a scale without known precedent in the history of hedge funds. Joining us now is Ben Protest, reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Ben, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
So in general terms here, is this a shot across the bow to the entire hedge fund industry, or is it really just about SAC Capital?
No, I think it is a message that's being sent to not just the hedge funds, but Wall Street more broadly, and that when a fund is corrupt from the inside, as the prosecutors have alleged here, that it won't just be individuals who are charged, but perhaps the firm itself.
And describe this sense of a strategy or a culture of insider trading that seems to be what the Justice Department is outlining in this complaint, and tell us how far back it goes.
Goes back to 1999 all the way to 2010, and they've identified about 10 people who they have linked to insider trading. Six of those, this is the important part, have already pleaded guilty. So that's where this becomes a really difficult legal effort for SAC, because six of their former employees are ready to pretty much stand up in court and say, we committed insider trading, SAC failed to prevent us from doing so. And in fact, in certain cases, there were such major lapses in internal controls that it really almost enabled the behavior, is what the prosecutor said.
When SAC appears to stand for the initials of Stephen A. Cohen, who is the founder and the billionaire stock picker at the head of this corporation, can he individually be spared even though he hasn't been indicted?
For now, he personally, as far as, you know, handcuffs on him in the courtroom, going to prison or being charged, at least he so far has been spared. Investigation is ongoing. You know, when we talk to our sources, no one exactly kind of says this is over. They said we're still looking at this. This could drag on for quite some time. However, for now, it really does seem like he is personally spared. But keep in mind, of the roughly $10 or $11 billion that's in SAC right now, $8 billion of that is Steve's own money. So if the prosecutors try to pursue not only just shutting down the firm eventually, but really with making them forfeit all of their money, a good portion of that money is Steve's money himself. Now, they will protect the outside investors, and that money will be shielded, but Steve's money really is his fortune here is in the crosshairs.
Any comment from Stephen Cohen at this point?
They basically say that these six people who have pleaded guilty and a handful of others are really isolated cases, and it doesn't speak to kind of the broader culture of the fund. You know, five pages of the indictment, however, are dedicated to the lax controls and how this was pervasive. You know, so I think that it's a very difficult maneuver at this point for SAC and for Mr. Cohen.
How difficult is it for the prosecutors? Let's focus on this question of a scheme that the complaint outlines, and the whole culture of hedge funds, which is about, you know, power meetings and Rolodexes and who knows whom and who's getting this information from whom. I have a difficult time sorting out what would be just normal Wall Street high-flying finance and what is an actual insider trading scheme.
Absolutely. And so what a lot of the individual defendants who've gone to trial, not just at SAC, but, you know, again, more broadly in the hedge fund industry, have alleged it or have responded to this with is, you know, this was research. This wasn't, you know, we were working our sources just like a journalist work source or, you know, a researcher would work, you know, various sources of information. This is very customary, routine business. The government says you crossed the line, however, and the key thing here in the SAC matter is that they've already proven, or at least the six individuals have admitted to guilt, so that the issue of whether or not insider trading was committed is a done, resolved matter. Now, and under corporate criminal liability, you can attribute the criminal acts of employees to the fund itself. Basically, you know, as one person said to me yesterday, it's game over for SAC.
Game over. Wow. So
I mean, they have certain legal defenses that they can mount, but this is very soon it's going to become a discussion of pleading guilty and various charges to perhaps lesser charges. But this is there's very few routes here for SAC. Once you have six individuals admitting to illegal conduct at SAC, getting up there and testifying against the fund itself.
This is a, you know, stock picking hedge fund. It's not necessarily involved or known for being a creator of exotic financial instruments like derivatives, et cetera. Did SAC Capital basically make the same mistakes as the Ivan Boeskys of the world, the Michael Milkins of the world, some sort of same temptations of insider trading going back decades? Or were they doing something new, more sophisticated, that pushed the envelope?
It's routine insider trading that's been alleged here, right? It's just, you know, your average plain vanilla working a source, talking to somebody inside Dell ahead of their earnings and getting a sneak peek at it. It's getting, you know, information leaked from a doctor who's sitting on a drug trial, and drug trial is not public, and you're getting slides from a drug trial before the announcement. It's pretty routine, old-fashioned insider trading that's alleged. Now, some of these people have fought the charges, and like I said, there's been this discussion, was it just, you know, regular research and nothing across the line? But so far, the government has charged about 80 people, and 73 of those, in the sweeping crackdown, 73 of those have either pleaded guilty or been convicted.
Sounds like game over to me. Ben Protest, thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
Ben Protest, reporter for our partner, The New York Times.
I'm David Remnick, host of The New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.